Hello, tea friends. This is Barb Gully with Barb's Tea Service. And I am here today with my guest. You're always special, Chris, but I think we're going to take special off.
Right.
Because your ongoing guest.
That's right.
Arm Candy.
That's right.
Tech support.
That's right. And man about town, I
think. Yes. Okay. We'll add that. That's a lot.
I know.
On your title. But this is our fourth podcast.
It is.
And we are here courtesy of On TV Studios. And today we're going to be talking about topics for today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about some, well, we had some listener feedback.
We did. And we love any kind of comment and feedback. It's great.
We really do. And we've gotten some gems. Yes. And so appreciate that. They don't have to be gems. Just we like to hear from you. But we're also going to talk a lot, or we're going to talk some about Jane Austen and the Morgan Library in New York.
Yes.
We had talked about that, I think, on our first podcast. We touched on it, right. So, and we've got a scoop. We shared it with the group yesterday, but this is the same week that I'm sharing the scoop with
Amazing.
Our listeners. Yes. Right. So, and then if we have time, we'll do our etiquette tip of the week.
That's a fave.
It is. So, but first, tea.
Love it.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. So today I am brewing up some Mr. Morgan tea.
Right.
And this is with regards to our Morgan Library scoop today.
Right.
But we purchased this when we went to the Morgan Library last month.
In Manhattan?
Yep. And as you mentioned last week, I love to go to these historical places and museums.
Right.
And head to the gift shop.
Yes.
And get tea or a tea mug.
Right.
So this is the Mr. Morgan tea.
It's great swag.
It is great swag that I pay for.
That's right.
So, or that, yes. Okay, so anyway, this is a Harney tea, and we like Harney. We've been there
right.
at their Manhattan store.
You've met one of the Harneys, too.
Actually, yes, I have.
Yeah.
I have. Great guy. And this is, according to the Harney label, this was inspired by the tea that J.P. Morgan had with his librarian.
Yes.
Bella DaCosta Green.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many connections. His personal librarian, this is a book
right.
that my neighbor had recommended a couple years ago because she knew I was a big fan of Gilded Age.
And for those listening on audio only, you should give the title and the pertinent information.
So this is The Personal Librarian, and it is historical fiction.
Right.
And it will be featured in an upcoming Tea and Tomes.
Yes.
So for those of you who may not be familiar, we do have a blog, barbsteashop.blogspot.com, and we have a regular feature called Tuesday Tea and Tomes.
Right.
And we do a book review and a tea pairing.
Right.
I can't say that I do it every Tuesday, but when I do it, it's on a Tuesday.
Nice.
So we'll be featuring that. It's really good. It's really good, and it grabs you from the get-go.
Yeah.
Okay, because her story is incredible.
Yep.
But anyway, this is a blend of Assam and Kimun. What do you think of this?
So this is, let me take one more taste.
Okay.
So this is, to me, it's a black tea, robust, but it's got a bit of a lighter taste. Maybe not bergamot citrus, but a bit of citrus in it. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you that it's lighter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I get the citrusy notes that you do, but
or maybe it's a fruit. It's maybe an apple or something like that.
Okay,
all right.
I do like it.
Yes,
I think this is good.
Yep.
So, does this remind you at all of the Morgan Library?
It does. It makes me want to seek knowledge and so the J.P. Morgan Library was an interesting spot. It was highly recommended. They have a lot of interesting artifacts there. He had kind of a broad range of taste. He liked his art, sculpture, a lot of really cool sketches of buildings and things, and you can, it's one of those places you can spend a lot of time there and not really realize it.
Exactly. I agree. And one of the reasons that I wanted to go to the Morgan Library, well, maybe I should take a step back just to say that this was once part of J.P. Morgan's home.
Right.
And he was one of the big guys in the Gilded Age.
Right.
Very wealthy, as you mentioned, a great collector. And this, one of my obsessions of many, mm-hmm. is the Gilded Age. So
right.
it was kind of interesting to go to see where he actually lived.
Mm-hmm.
Although the living space is a little bit different.
Right.
But anyway, that library was meant for his collection. Mm-hmm. And his son in the 1920s opened it up to the public.
Right.
So they, so everybody can go and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fee to go in, though.
Yeah.
So when we were there, the reason I wanted to go was because I was gifted with a Wedgwood book, a book about collecting Wedgwood.
Right.
From Matt and Jenna. And in the footnote, there was a reference to a letter that Jane Austen wrote to her sister Cassandra,
right.
about their Wedgwood.
Yeah, and the thing to note is that Jane's, she had thousands and thousands and thousands of letters that her and Cassandra exchanged over the years, and sadly, I think that was kind of the custom of the time. When she passed away, the letters were burned, and what a great insight that would have been to her. I mean, there was probably a lot of snark about people they knew,
was.
And they were being polite, I guess.
Yes.
But anyway, so the remarkable thing is that that letter, you know, still exists.
Right. Exactly. That's a really good point, because after Jane died, her family went through all her her letters and burned quite a few.
Right.
Wanted to keep the image because we're going into Victorian times.
Right.
Things were a little bit different.
Circumspect.
Yes. So that's why it's always good to delete all your emails.
That's right.
Or be careful what you send.
Right.
Anyway, so yes, the fact that there's still some that remain is incredible. And I wanted to see this letter. And when we went to the Morgan Library with our family,
mm-hmm.
back in March, what I didn't realize was that they have these rotating exhibits.
Right.
So they have a lot of cool things on display, mm-hmm. but they didn't have the Jane Austen letters.
Out on display, right.
Right. When we were there, they had the Beatrix Potter.
Right, which was great.
It was. It was really interesting. And we had actually had been near the Beatrix Potter residence when we were in England.
In the Lake District, right.
Right. And so I think that's something to put on our list. Anyway, back to the Morgan Library.
Right.
So I enjoyed the experience, but a little bit disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted the curator of literature.
Right.
And I asked him when they would have it back.
And he was very responsive.
He was within, I think, that day.
Yeah.
Really great. And he shared with me, and here's the big scoop.
Yes.
That they're going to put all of their Jane Austen document collection on display next year, next summer,
mm-hmm.
from June to September.
Yes.
And this will be it's in honor of Jane's 250th birthday.
That's right.
So that's a lot to celebrate.
Yes.
And we will be going there.
We will. We'll be, I guess we have kids there and we'll visit.
Right. That's the other reason we want to go, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, we might want to book in advance.
Yes.
I don't know if we'll experience any of the price gouging like we did with the solar eclipse.
We might. Well, I think there's price gouging every day there.
Yeah.
in Manhattan, but that's another topic.
Right. And it's not just limited to a day.
Right.
This is going to be over a few months. So, I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm so excited because this is something that is a little bit more doable for a lot of us.
Right.
We can just go to New York. I mean, it's not a walk in the park, but right. it's a little bit easier to than just taking a plane and going to, over to England.
Right.
And you get to see Jane's own writing.
Right.
In her own hand. And right. we had that experience when we went to the British Library.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that's that special room where you can't take pictures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they have Jane's letters, and they had not only that, but they had King Henry VIII's correspondence with Anne Boleyn.
Yes.
A lot of great treasures. Anyway, so this is something that's a little bit close to home. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to share this with everyone.
Yep.
And also, when we were yesterday, our BTS, Barb's Tea Service, presented at the Commerce Township Public Library. We mm-hmm. did our ostentatious tea.
Yes.
So along with team member Pam, we served up tea and we talked about Jane Austen. And I have to tell you, this was such a fabulous group. Mm-hmm. They were just very engaged and very interesting and had a lot to share about their own experiences.
Right.
So it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd mention here because some feedback that we had from a previous podcast was, how long have you been in business?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't overnight. We've been doing this for almost 20 years. We yeah. started in 2005.
Yes.
So.
And you had a job back then.
Yeah. That,
a real job.
Yes. That was the corporate thing. Yeah. So that was sort of the Cinderella. After I closed shop, I could do my tea thing. Yeah. That was always very fun. That yep. was going out to the ball.
Exactly.
So now I'm going to the ball all the time. I'm right. having a ball.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we were talking about Jane Austen, you know, I mentioned to the group yesterday that we've gone to England several times,
mm-hmm.
and there's always some Jane Austen focus with
right.
every trip. And this past fall, we were in Bath.
Right.
We stayed for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and we actually stayed in a home where Jane and her family lived.
Right. It was like 1801 to 1804 or something
yes,
like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. And it was, it's an Airbnb now.
Yeah.
I wish it was the whole townhouse.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But it's the what is would today be considered a very lovely garden apartment.
Yes.
Big windows, lots of space,
mm-hmm.
but it's where the staff, the servants would have stayed.
Right. Yes.
So. So that's where we ended up, but it was great just to be there and see, as Jane did, experience Sydney Gardens, etc.
Yeah. Okay.
So
right.
That's so we always as I said, try and work in something Jane Austen
mm-hmm.
related to experience much felicity.
There you go.
But when I was talking to the library folks yesterday, I mentioned that one of the things that the Austen family would have had to store their tea would have been a tea caddy.
Mm-hmm.
And we too have a tea caddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's special in a number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, why did they have a tea caddy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tea was very expensive mm-hmm. at this time.
Right.
It was imported.
Mm-hmm.
And in England,
mm-hmm.
as we know from experience, they taxed it quite heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the case in all the countries,
right.
but
yeah.
England did that.
Yeah.
So you had to have some means in order to afford the good stuff.
Right.
So what folks would have who did have the means is they would have a tea caddy to store their tea.
Mm-hmm.
But the key was, quite literally, and I'll show this
right
on the camera, but
right.
for those who are just listening, the key was literally the key.
Right.
It was held under lock and key.
Mm-hmm. To keep the servants and riffraff away from the tea.
Exactly. Because where we stayed... in the basement, those folks, they could go to the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
They could take a little tea off the top,
right?
Sell it out the back door, make
yep.
a little profit.
There you go.
So, to discourage that,
mm-hmm.
the tea would have been stored in a tea caddy
mm-hmm.
and literally lock and key.
Right.
And then someone in the family
mm-hmm.
would hold the key.
Right.
In the Austin family, it was Jane.
Amazing.
It is. So, as I mentioned, I have a tea caddy.
Mm-hmm.
And the tea caddy that we have at home
mm-hmm.
is a reproduction.
Right.
I'm starting to kind of chuckle when I think about this. But it's a tea caddy. It's a reproduction of one of the tea caddies at the Althorp Estate in England.
Right.
And that is the
ancestral home of the Spencer family.
Right.
And the current lord is Charles Spencer, brother of Diana.
Right, the late Princess Di. So I got to meet him
mm-hmm.
and interview him in 2014.
Right.
At the time, I had a side job working for this national newspaper.
Right.
And I got on
You presented
Rocket.
your press credentials.
Yes,
and got on
yes,
the list.
Yes, I had to deal with all their PR folks, yeah. but I got a slot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sat down together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see a picture, it's in the blog.
Mm-hmm.
But I purchased this tea caddy, and it has the Spencer coat of arms on the top.
Right.
It has his autograph inside.
Yep.
And he was so charming.
You should mention the reason this was happening was, the estate takes a lot of money to run. So what they were doing was licensing reproductions to be sold at kind of high end furniture stores. So those in the local Detroit area would remember that as Scott Shuptrine which was kind of the higher end art van.
Right.
And so the place used to be there on Woodward years ago.
Right. I'm so glad you mentioned that because, yes, that's what he was doing, raising funds to keep that home.
Right.
Because you can imagine when we get a new roof.
Yeah. We can't license, our coffee pot.
The Pemberley Pines.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just a fraction of
right.
what it costs on the scale
right.
of what Althorp Estate is. So, yes, so he was selling this merchandise. So I got the tea caddy,
mm-hmm.
and I mentioned he was charming. He was extremely good-looking
mm-hmm.
and much better than his photos.
Right.
He was tan.
Right.
And just a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interviewing him and realized that I wanted to have a picture
right.
of Lord Spencer
yeah.
and myself, and you were on the way to picking me up. Actually, I think you might have been in the parking lot.
Right, right. And you were running a little late, and I wasn't sure. And I should mention, I think I was painting, and it didn't. And so I had the clothes that you'd expect to look like when one paints their house, and
right.
and was not expecting to meet English lords that day. It was not on my list. So anyway.
So I did a quick text and to Chris, and I said, can you come in and take a picture of
yeah.
us with the phone? And he said, okay. I think you might have said something
yeah.
like, well, I'm not exactly dressed
yes.
for this, but
yeah.
I was like, oh, that won't matter. So in the furniture store,
mm-hmm.
they had a little cocktail hour, very fancy. They had the local news stations,
yep.
and it was a really big deal.
Yep.
And people generally were dressed quite nice. And so you came in with all your tattered, paint-spattered
yeah.
clothes.
Yeah.
And Lord Spencer turned to me, and he said, is that your man? And I said, yes, it is. And I got a big kick out of that.
Yep.
And I appreciated that you made that sacrifice. So
yes.
thank you, dear.
Right.
Okay. So looks like we have some time
mm-hmm.
to talk about our tea etiquette
right. yep.
tip of the week.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So I mentioned last week, as I have, I think, in other podcasts, that we have a tea etiquette book.
Mm-hmm.
But I should say it's not all tea etiquette.
Right.
It's formal dining
right.
and tea etiquette, and I'll just show that here.
Right.
We had a couple. We gave away a couple of these yesterday.
Yep.
And the winners were real excited. One woman said, "I have never won anything in my life."
So, wow.
I know. And look, the wait was worth it, I guess.
I think so.
So today I have a tip I'd like, or something to talk about as far as milk in first or milk in last when mm-hmm. you are drinking
right
tea. So right. this is definitely tea etiquette.
Right.
But before we get to that, I just wanted to mention that we did have some listener feedback, mm-hmm. and they wanted some clarity about the etiquette tip I gave a few podcasts ago on how to eat a scone.
Right.
The proper way to eat a scone.
Yes.
And a lot of people like you are traditionalists. Mm-hmm. You don't use a knife and fork.
Right.
But if you wanted to use a knife and fork,
mm-hmm.
well, certainly a knife,
yeah.
I had mentioned that you would cut the scone
right.
in half.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't mention the proper...
Right, the definition of half in this case.
Right. Are we... Oh, so this listener, they're one of the people who is... there are people who are always the... What do you call them in your class that are the... High overachievers.
That's right. Well, you should mention probably as a little background, this particular individual we happen to know was a math major.
Yes, yes.
And so, and I think that scone is a clotted cream fruit preserve delivery system. And so she was, I think, trying to help out, you know, the most efficient way to provide, you know, the clotted cream and jam.
Exactly, yep. exactly. But here's where the overachiever
mm-hmm.
part comes in. Her question came in the form of a multiple choice question.
Yes.
Which I thought was very good.
Yep.
So I'll read that. The scone down the middle, does it mean A, slice in half vertically,
uh-huh.
top to bottom,
mm-hmm.
B, slice horizontally like a biscuit,
mm-hmm.
or C, both A and B.
Uh-huh.
So, in the book, we clarify that. We actually have an illustration.
Yes.
So, there's no guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to clarify, you do cut it horizontally.
Right.
So, that solves that mystery.
There you go. There you go. Yes. And just on a, if I may, just on a slightly related topic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the clotted cream and the jam, which is really... think the best part.
Oh, it is.
But anyway, one thing and you and I had talked about this before, is that you know, in the U.S. you really can't purchase in a retail clotted cream,
right?
And this is one of those things, you know, you find out on the way to looking up something else.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is that in the U.S. because milk has to be transported over pretty long distances, milk in the U.S. is homogenized,
mm-hmm.
which means the milk is a way of just preserving it, so you get fresh milk,
right.
you know, delivered over, you know, over truck and rail and that sort of thing. But that just means the you know, the constituent parts of the milk are kind of smooshed together, mm-hmm. you know, under high pressure, and so it keeps it. So clotted cream is, you know, goes by different names, scalded cream and baked cream. So, and with regular milk, again, we as Americans don't really experience that, where the cream will rise to the top, and the way you get clotted cream is that cream is actually baked at low heat, you know, over several hours. And that's what gives it that that texture and that kind
heady.
Of that
mm-hmm.
that heady taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why typically you only in the U.S. you only get clotted cream, you know, at tea houses where they have to make it. You just can't buy it like you can in England. It's there on the,
right,
on the shelf.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know. That's
so that's my clotted cream
yes,
tidbit.
Thank you for that, Chris. That's great, because actually that's a good lead in to our topic of milk in first and
yes.
milk in last.
Right.
Speaking of dairy,
mm-hmm.
and it with tea etiquette. Now, people have different opinions
yes.
on this,
mm-hmm.
but if you will occasionally add milk
yes.
to your
mm-hmm.
tea, I
yep.
typically don't.
Right.
But what's your order?
Well, as I've been instructed, milk in last. There's a great little, so for fans of Downton Abbey, right, there's this little Easter egg somewhere, I don't know, in the, in the episode, you know, in the series. And this is, it's kind of a, also kind of layered as kind of a class thing. So, and you're probably going to get to it, but there's, what the butlers,
Carson.
Carson notices a villager coming in and pouring in tea first, or excuse me, milk first, and then the tea, and he raises an eyebrow.
He does. In fact, you almost have that correct. He asks her if she would like tea.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And when
right.
she says milk in first, that's when we get that Carson eyebrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, that is. It's one of those that I think is might not, you know, zing with, resonate, I guess, with maybe 95% of the people, but we love
it. We love it.
So anyway, very quickly, tea etiquette says milk in first.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for that, no, milk in last.
Milk in what? I was giving you a raised eyebrow. What?
Okay, so, right, it is milk in last.
Right.
Okay, so, so the reason for milk in last mm-hmm. is because people steep their tea differently, or they brew it differently. So some are going to brew it strong, maybe some light. You don't want to pour your milk in until you actually see the brew in your cup.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to gauge how much you should put in, mm-hmm. because you don't want to overpower the tea.
Right.
And of, like you mentioned, there is this also this class association mm-hmm. where the downstairs typically drank theirs milk in first.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure we got that right.
Yep.
And the upper classes would drink it milk in last.
Right.
Like the royals do
mm-hmm.
and as the folks in Downton Abbey.
Right.
So now we know that it is milk in last. There's also a scientific reason
mm-hmm.
I was reading about, and I might want to, I was going to tap into Dr. Frankel.
Yes.
Because she's the one who told us about salt and tea.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing all your explanation about the clotted cream, I think next time I'll just go to you.
That's, you know, I know things. I know a couple things.
You do? You do.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, are we?
Got 2 minutes.
Okay. Yep. All right. So, I did want to mention, too, that I'm drinking the Mr. Morgan tea, but mm-hmm. I'm also drinking it out of my newly gifted Jane Austen mug.
Right.
And this was from my tea friend Barb,
mm-hmm.
who also connected us with the library.
Right.
And there's a quote on here from
mm-hmm.
Mansfield Park.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Her own thoughts and reflections were habitually her best companions.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Along with Barb's Tea Services podcast.
Love it. Okay.
All right.
All right. Do we hear a certain sound?
Oh. Yes, we are.
All right.
So I hear the kettle telling us it's time to wrap up. We want to thank everybody for listening and viewing. We want to thank our listeners and viewers.
Yeah.
And appreciate any feedback.
Yep.
We'll look forward to more.
Keep it coming.
And next week's podcast, we actually have a special guest.
Yes, we do.
Somebody
so excited.
That isn't you or me.
Yeah.
We'll be here.
Yeah.
But it's going to be someone. So that's going to be, I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that.
Very good. Okay.
So thank you, everybody. Thanks to OnTV. And we appreciate you all staying tuned.
Thanks a lot.